night. We made it, buddy. I'm so pumped, man. Paul Ash.
How you doing?
Welcome to No BS with SB. Are you happy?
C'est très bon.
Oh,
I'm very happy.
So we're going to speak French today because Paul is bilingual. Oh. Or it's the only word you can say in French?
It's the only word I can say in French.
Man, thanks to be here. Paul Ash, for me, it's like my first girlfriend in life. You know what I mean? Because you understand. Yeah, exactly. Because the first time I do, my first show was at the Yuck Yuck Ottawa, okay?
Yeah.
But when I came back to Montreal, when I start full-time in Montreal, I remember I did the Comedy Works,
yeah.
I did your show,
yeah.
And I did the NES. Okay, it was, what a night.
Yeah.
And your show was on Guy and St. Catherine, remember that?
Yeah.
It was 2012.
Yeah.
And I start to go there often because you give me the opportunity. You know, when you start, when you're a comedian, when you start comedy, you're nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because people shit on open mic. But open mic is amazing when you understand what is an open mic. You know, it's to try joke, to be better, okay?
Yeah.
And you understand that you need open mic.
Yeah.
It depends where you want to go in life and in comedy, you
years
know?
Years ago when there was the two clubs in town, they would frown on people doing independent mics. And David Acker, somebody get that phone. David
Acker. Let's go. No, continue. I'm going to check the camera if everything's good.
Okay. David Acker did a...
David Acker is the owner of the Comedy Nest.
Yes. One of the owners of the Comedy Nest.
Yes.
And he sees it now as a great feeding opportunity. That way the locals are going to be better when they are on his stage. And thus he sees it being positive that there are other mics out there.
Yeah, but he banned me because I play at the Yuck Yuck. So I don't understand what you said, you know?
Well, that was a club. That was
Yeah. Oh, before the club.
Yeah.
Like, before it was at the Nest?
Like, yeah. Before, like, the Nest would...
The Nest at the old forum?
Yeah.
Because the Nest move a lot, you know?
Yes, but he only bought it when it's been at the forum.
Okay.
He wasn't the owner... I don't think he was the owner in 2012. I'm not sure when he bought it.
I think you're right. I think it was the
that was the, when Ernie passed.
Ernie,
his daughter, and
daughter.
His son. Yeah,
exactly. He bought after, I think 2013.
Yeah.
Because me, I start to go to the. I went to the. Oh no! It was him.
Yeah. Okay.
In 2012.
Because I know Yucks would ban people who played other rooms.
Exactly.
So they wouldn't let you play other places.
Exactly. Because I played 2012, 2013, and the Yuck Yuck on Park arrived.
Yeah.
And Mark Brezin asked me if I want to host.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, I would love. It's the first time I'm going to get paid, you know?
Yeah.
And I tell the story. They offer me, he said, it's a great opportunity, you should do that. And after I did, they banned me. Yeah, because every year I ask, can I play? And it's no.
No.
It's sad, huh?
Yeah.
It's sad how the world of comedy in English suck. You know what I mean? Because in French we will never do that.
There's a star system. Yeah.
More you're funny,
yeah, but
more.
There's no.
And I know I'm an opener.
There's no clubs though in French in Montreal except for Le Bordel.
I know.
Right, but the thing is, if Le Bordel had somebody who was in direct competition, you know, just a couple streets
they
over.
They have.
Who?
They have the Terminal.
And Abattoir, but those are open mics. Those aren't clubs.
The Terminal is another comedy club.
It's a full club?
Yes.
Well,
you don't understand. In French, we will never do that.
Okay.
We don't care.
Yeah.
We don't care about that. The goal is to be the... Listen, if Mike Ward go at the Terminal, Mike Ward... Who owned the bordel and headline at that time, and nobody will do nothing.
Yeah.
Nobody care. You know, because it's a 100 room.
Yeah.
Why you fight? Why like example, a big star go to the Comedy Works front of 100 people. The week after, he can't go to the Nest front of 200 people. Come on. It's an old mentality. Because it was like that before.
Yeah. Oh, because you know the history, don't you?
I don't know the history. It's why.
Okay. The Comedy Nest was the first full-time club in the city.
Okay, Comedy Nest. Where was the Comedy Nest?
It was on Bishop Street.
Bishop Street?
Yeah. It was
where the Comedy Works is?
We'll fill in this. Ernie was running it, and they were selling out because it was comedy, I guess, in the 80s, 70s, 80s, whenever cocaine was cheap. And, they were.
You're right. Was cheap or good, or yeah, you, yeah. Cheap and good.
Cheap and good.
because a lot of good movie.
I don't. Yeah. So Ernie wanted a bigger cut, and the guy who was the bar manager said no, and so Ernie ranted at him, said, "Well, I'm going to take my club elsewhere," and the guy said, "Okay." And Ernie didn't know that this guy Jimbo had been writing down all the names of. Wow. All the comics, all the people.
Jimbo? Mm-hmm. The Jimbo?
Jimbo was the bar
Ernie,
manager. Yeah.
The Jimbo who was the boss at the Comedy Works?
Yeah.
Wow. Where are you from, man? Hmm? How old are you? I'm about to know it.
This is stuff I've learned.
Okay, so Jimbo at the time
was the bar manager who accepted to put comedy in a room upstairs. Now, if you remember the old Comedy Works, the ground floor, there was those roll-up doors that led into the bar I can't remember what it was named at the time, but the last name it had before the fire was the Irish Embassy.
Okay.
Right? So that used to be all one big bar.
No way. And yeah. It was the Nest.
And the Nest was upstairs.
It's why they call it the Nest.
Yeah.
The Nest was upstairs at the Comedy Works.
Yeah.
Wow! What years? Do you remember the year? 1980.
I'd have to look.
Okay,
it up,
so,
yeah.
So Jimbo and Ernie was friend.
They were working together.
But we're
not partners. See,
okay.
Ernie brought the idea of the comedy club to the bar owners. Bar owners said, "This is our bar manager. He'll take care of it. Take care of running the house for you."
Yeah.
And so Ernie booked the comics and was doing the shows. And he got a cut of the bar, but
he wanted more.
He wanted more, and they split over that. It took Ernie like a couple weeks to a month to get reopened, and I think his second location was at where Winnie's is.
What?
Winnie's on Crescent.
Winnie's on
so
Crescent.
Winston Churchill's
okay.
on Crescent.
Okay.
So around that area, and but in the meantime. Jimbo had a show the next week, so it never stopped.
At the Comedy Nest?
At the Comedy Nest, which was what he rebranded as the Comedy Works.
Why you did that?
Because Ernie owned the name of the Comedy
Ernie
Nest.
Ernie owned the Comedy Nest, so the, okay, right. Wow.
But the thing is, the crowd didn't know. They just know this is the one place to go for comedy in town. And so there was no slowdown in acts. And he just kept on putting on shows.
But no, you can play there at the time because the foundation was not enough strong to do that.
At the time, when Ernie got running, he told people you can't play both.
Right away?
Right away.
Whoa.
Because there was...
Because it was an ego fight.
Yeah.
And not this, okay, so this is interesting. So you go there, how long you stay at the Winnie's?
I don't know exactly how long.
Because I think he moved.
There was one other location before he went to Nouvelle Hotel. On René Lévesque.
Yeah.
And then after that, he sort of got pushed out. There was
at the hotel.
At the hotel, basically one year they told him they were doubling his rent.
Wow! Because he had success.
Yeah, he had some success.
So yeah.
But he had been there for a long time, and so. What he didn't know was somebody else had approached the hotel, said, "Can we put in a comedy club?"
Like what? The Comedy Zone with
yeah.
Paul Ronca.
He was one of the owners.
Yeah.
I believe Paul didn't know about the push-up deal.
Okay.
I'm not positive. So they took over the spot, and he moved it to a restaurant. While he was waiting to get into the forum. They were at a restaurant called Nick and Mario's.
So he fight a lot to stay alive with the Comedy Nest.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was a good guy. He was a good guy to me.
Okay.
He had a reputation.
Okay.
He actually was a big supporter of Cocaine Anonymous. Many of the Anonymous programs.
That's why you say that before. Okay.
He reached out to a lot of people. There is a book. I think it's called Standing in the Dark by Andrew Clark. I'm not positive, but he wrote a book about the history of stand-up comedy in Canada.
Wow.
He sort of puts a bit of blame on Ernie for the death of Colin Campbell, who was a comedian from Vancouver, who was freshly sober, and he did a Canada-wide tour staying sober, and then Ernie kept on sending drinks to his table to say, no, go ahead. And that was like the last stop on the tour. He went home, and shortly after, within days of being home, he went missing, and then they found his body.
He was your friend?
I did not know him. I know his material. He was incredibly funny and very prolific.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you have not a good reputation, but
he had a mixed reputation. Yep. When Yuck Yucks wouldn't put on Jim Carrey, he would.
Okay, let's talk about that just later before right. We finish the tour. So you go to the hotel. Yep. After that, a restaurant.
Yep, Nick and Mario's.
How long he stay in the restaurant?
He moved there just before I moved away. So that would have, I don't know when he moved there, when Comedy Zone opened, but he moved out of there around 2003.
And so what is the year he moved to the Nest? Did he move somewhere else before the Nest after that?
Well, I mean, it's always been the Nest.
Sorry, it's my fault. The Old Forum?
No, he moved from that restaurant to the Old Forum.
Okay,
but he was in a different location than he currently is.
Oh yeah, it was not upstairs.
It was on the fourth floor, not the third floor. And
you're right. The fourth floor, you have a restaurant there.
Yeah, well, it was actually a little jazz club that they had set up. It's now a classroom, but there was a jazz room, so it had a lower area and a higher area in back.
Okay,
and they had good acoustics.
Okay, and why they? Do you know why they move? Another problem.
It didn't have the capacity.
Okay, because now they have too much capacity now.
Have you been there on the weekends? Yeah. The weekends are pretty full.
No, I mean not full. Okay. Because you can bring 300 people there.
No, it's still about 250.
Ah, maybe so. Because they changed the way.
No, well, even before. No, they gained capacity when they changed the direction.
No, I know it's less because at the time it was like that.
Yeah, when it was the long.
It was always empty behind, in the back, you know.
Yeah, exactly. If you take a look at the club, now it more resembles the better clubs in New York City.
Yes. I don't know. I never went. I never play in the new section.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know what I mean? It's sad, man. Eh? Because yeah. I love David Acker. I love this place. You know, I love everybody. But when I went to the English side, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
And we don't have that, you know?
Right.
And I'm an opener. Why you ban an opener?
Yeah.
Because he's playing in another club, you know? It's weird. So, and the worst part is the Yuck Yuck closed 3 months after. Yeah. I was screwed, man. You know what I mean? Like, why you do that to me? It's already tough to do comedy. You know, so I can't play free anymore in your club. Wow, yeah. You know what I mean. Yeah. So, this is fun for the people to the history of the ego. You know, no, it's true because I didn't know. You know, I just thought it was him who decided to ban me. And
Jimbo was the other way. We're not seeing
Jimbo. He called me, by the way.
Okay.
He said, "I will not ban you because you play at the Yuck Yuck or the Nest." I said, "Why?" I said, "Because you're funny."
Yeah.
He said that to me. You know what I mean? It's fun. So I work at the works.
Yeah.
But you said tick tick tick. You said you said something. Oh, Jim Carrey. Okay. Yeah. So you said when he started to work with Yuck Yucks, the Nest banned him.
Yeah. Well, told him that
you didn't
have a career.
No way. How you know that? In the book?
It's not just in the book. It's kind of a famous Canadian showbiz story.
No way.
Mark Breslin has, you know, said, yeah, okay, a lot of people make a big deal of this, but not everyone's perfect. I made a mistake, and that's it.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey, Wayne Fleming owned a comedy club, and Jim Carrey sort of apprenticed under him. And I think they still have the picture at the Nest of Ernie and Jim Carrey, and just before Jim went to Jim, like I know him, like before Mr. Carrey made the trip to LA.
Wow. Yeah. And the rest is a story.
Yeah.
Then you, wow. So, wow, it's it's fun because it's fun. It's sad because everybody, like you said, make mistake. You know, yeah. And I don't know why I still have to feel bad about that, because you have to understand. Now I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
But at the time, you know, think about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's big. The name ban. Yeah. You're banned. I'm banned. What are you talking about? I yell to the crowd. I'm always late. I'm not funny. I'm too drunk. I broke a glass in your. I shit on people. You know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ban me.
Yeah.
But ban me because I want to be better and have an opportunity. And I ask you. I went to see him at the Nest in the green room.
Yeah.
Sit with him 30 minutes. And talk about that.
Yeah.
Ask by respect, you know. I'm not supposed to do that. I don't own you nothing. I'm a comedian.
Yeah.
You know why we are a comedian? Because we don't need bus. We don't want a bus.
Yeah.
You know? So when Yuck Yuck asked me to work with, they want to sign me a contract. Mm-hmm. I said, I will not sign that.
Yeah.
I will never sign a contract. Because you know what is in the contract? Nothing.
Exclusivity, yeah.
Exclusivity of them. But what I got in nothing.
Yeah.
So why I sign something you don't offer me? Offer me a guarantee of something, I'm gonna sign it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is why I suck. Like I said, comedy suck in English.
Mm-hmm.
In French. In French,
yeah.
You can live.
Yes.
And not be famous.
Yeah.
And pay your rent.
Yeah.
You know why? Because we support each other.
Mm-hmm.
Open mic, it's $25. Yeah. It's 2 beer. You don't need to bring people.
Yeah.
It's not my job to bring people. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
You understand my point?
Yeah.
And it's why when you do everywhere, an open mic, a comedy, nobody's there.
Mm.
And French open mic, it's jam-packed all the time. So why, you know what I mean? But they continue to act like everything is great. You know what I mean? Mm. And this is sad. You know, when I moved to Toronto 2 years,
mm-hmm.
I saw the sadness of the comedian there. Ugh. I was so scared to have that on me.
Yeah.
So we moved back. Not the only reason, but one of the reasons, you know.
Yeah.
Because you are there for ever.
Yeah.
You know, and you still enjoy comedy?
I lived almost 2 years in Toronto. Yeah. I had a lot of life events happen while you were away, and I've only been getting... in the meantime, I had kept Vaudeville running, but I had kind of scaled back everything else. And it's only in the past 3 years I've been charging forward, trying to rebuild my name and my brand.
Okay, I didn't know you. So you stopped?
Pretty much.
Okay, so let's talk about Paul Ash, okay?
Cool.
Paul Ash, who decide to fuck your life to be in the world of comedy? Is it you? Is it... You want to impress your father, your mother? Why did you know when you're young I'm going to be a comedian someday? Or what's happened in your life?
For English comedy, there was the Yuck Yuck Show. Like, I grew up in small towns.
Okay, where?
In Nova Scotia.
Okay.
A place called Porter's Lake. Nearest city being Halifax. We didn't see a lot of comedy.
I thought you said people.
Yeah. Well, Porter's Lake, you don't see a lot of people.
Oh, people.
Yeah, the city, well, city, it's not even a city, not even a village. It's
something.
The community.
They have a stop somewhere in the street.
Yeah.
And after that, good luck.
Yeah. Well, when I grew up there was 5 roads in the entire 18-kilometer long lake area.
So you're very small.
Now there's probably about 25.
Okay, wow. Is it the Sid Rock?
Subdivisions.
Or is it rock or it's cement?
It's a mix of both.
A mix of both, okay.
They got a Tim Hortons. They got a Tim Hortons and they got a liquor store.
You have a respectable town. If you have a Tim Hortons, you have a McDonald's?
We also have a French school.
A French school there? Yeah,
the My Elementary School is now an Acadian.
Yeah. So you could speak French if you wanted, huh? Just because you're lazy, or you don't have friends who speak French?
I have a learning disability. My wife is Quebecois.
So what? So you speak French?
I'm learning. I'm actually in class now.
No, I mean, you know when you don't have interest?
I have tried a number of times.
Yes.
The
first year with your wife, because you want her. But after that, I got her. Fuck French.
No. I have tried. I have seriously given it the try. I'm in school. I'm paying to go to school.
Yeah.
So I can learn.
So what do you think about I learned English at 37 years? What do you think about it? You think I was crazy at the time?
No, not at all.
No, okay.
No, so I have appreciated being bilingual since I kind of wished I had kept in it in school. I started coming to Montreal 1997.
So, small town. Do you have sister, brother?
I am the youngest of five.
So, are you the funny guy in the family? You want to make people laugh? Do you know you want to do that? Or
well, the thing is like I was watching like A&E's Evening at the Improv or Comedy on the Road. These were late night TV shows.
Okay.
And I would stay up late to watch.
So you have cable?
No, when we got cable. We got cable when I was in high school, maybe. Okay. So
you're always interested about comedy?
Comedy, yeah. And so, CBC shows.
Okay. So when did you make your first show?
I think about 19. I went to go see
19? Wow, it's young.
Yeah.
It's good?
Yeah. I went to see an open mic with a friend. I was finally old enough to be in the bars legally.
This is interesting. Why you decide to go see a show in a bar?
Because I love the comedy.
So it was meant to be?
Yeah.
It was in your blood?
Yeah.
Wow. Did you say that louder to your family or it was inside you secretly?
I think it was sort of inside me secretly. Like I had received a bursary to go to university, the first one in my family to do so.
And you said nope.
But I didn't, like, the only thing I was really interested in was acting.
Acting?
And I didn't, that's not a career, that's not a job.
For them?
Well, not for me either. I grew up in a very blue-collar family.
Yeah, you live in a farm.
Well, not a farm.
Man, you live in a wood.
Yeah, I lived in the woods. My father was in the Navy.
Exactly. Everything on television, it's not the reality, you know?
Yeah.
So they don't understand you want to do that.
Yeah.
So you go see a show.
I mean, they never really were against it. It's just I grew up with the, you know, a job is something that makes you sweat.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, we sweat.
Yeah,
Trust me.
Yeah, I learned.
Oh,
that.
Man, yeah.
But the thing is, so I became a bookkeeper.
Okay.
I went to college while I figured things out. And while I was doing that, I went and to an open mic with a good friend.
What kind of open mic? Is it a club or was it a bar?
Yuck Yucks had closed just before I turned of age to do it. They closed the club in Halifax.
For the 1,000th time, I think?
No, it might have been the second time.
Okay.
And so
the Yuck Yuck Halifax, because I think...
There is one now.
Okay, still open?
Yes.
Okay, I think so it's St. John who closed. Because
St. John just closed.
Okay, because they open. You go there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Wednesday.
I think it was a weekend.
Okay, you go to a weekend
because it's an open mic because that's all that's in the city. There is no club, so it was just a regular bar that had a comedy.
Oh, you missed the Yuck Yuck.
Yeah, I missed.
He closed before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you go in a bar.
And I go to the bar, I'm there with a friend. And
make some noise. Oh. Yes. Make some noise, buddy. What did you order?
I'm getting myself a tea. An English breakfast tea.
Yeah.
Wow. This is Tony, the owner.
Tony.
Thanks, Tony, to invite us at the best Peroni.
No problem.
Best restaurant downtown.
And he's got some biscotti for us.
And you play there, huh?
I play here.
Huh? Merci.
No problem.
The best. Yeah. Make some noise again, buddy. I'm gonna rewatch the Zoom. I love this guy. Do you like this place?
Yeah, I like this place.
It's like a comedy club.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not a comedy club because it's a restaurant, but trust me,
when the show starts,
you think it's a comedy club.
Yeah.
So it's like old school, like a horizontal, you know, it's small. Ali and Sid are amazing. It's, you know, when you work with good people, it's important in comedy to surround with good people, huh?
Exactly.
Because it's so easy to get discouraged in this business.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, when you get banned, it's not fun. And you know what? I'm gonna go back with you, but the night I host my first night at the Yuck Yuck on Park at the Rialto, first time, I'm so stressed, man. See, it's big for me. Mm-hmm. I'm a pro in French, but in English, I'm nothing, you know? And it's jam-packed. All the television is there. It's the big headliner. I don't remember.
And then that was the basement of the Rialto.
Yes.
Because I played the upstairs of the Rialto a couple times.
Oh, the big theater is amazing. Oh, and the owner is amazing, too. What is his name? Ezio?
Yeah, Ezio is great. Ezio didn't like me.
Oh, no?
No, because I had my joke about... he thought I was trying to cause a race riot. But my separatism joke.
Hey, for that, he doesn't like you.
He didn't like me. No.
Yeah, but it's just a joke.
Yeah, I know. But he asked me if I was trying to cause a riot.
Oh, are you ready?
Right, but I got big laughs and.
Yeah, yeah, man, it's a joke. Yeah. So how you know that?
Because he came up and told me.
He told you, I don't like this joke.
Yeah, he says I don't want you ever playing here.
No, really?
He said that to me twice.
Wow, this is so sad. You men are so bad. We live so many bullying in this business.
Yeah.
So listen, you want to talk about
the same joke? I won a contest on CBC Radio.
And listen, you know my joke. I'm screwed. Yeah, no, yeah. He loved this joke, and it's a separatist joke. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, before I go on stage, a comic. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was my friend. Okay.
Yeah.
He went like 5 minutes before I go on stage. Five.
Uh huh.
It's him who told me that
you were bad.
Yeah. He told me in my ear. He said, "Hey man, I just talked with David. He told me you're bad." I said, "Man, I'm going on stage tabarnak. Get out of my face, you know,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going on stage the best," and he know that, and he was so happy to tell me that. You know what I mean?
First off, I don't think David would be telling people that.
How you know that? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I called him after, and he told me, you're banned. I said, why? He said, because what? Who cares? I did not sign anything. I just want to be better. You know what? So, but the snake, you know, the snake, the rat. Why you do that? Yeah, you know, the jealousy, you know?
Yeah, there's some people who bad news travels a lot faster than good.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. But I will always respect David Acker.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not agree about this decision. I think he made a mistake. Okay, yeah. I think 6 year now? 6 year, really? Every year I send an email.
Send it more often. Have you asked to be on the open mic?
He's going
to
block me, you know? I think somebody told me I can go just watch a show. But anyway, I will not. Why will we go see a show anyway? I work, you know?
Yeah.
So, are you happy?
Yeah.
Biscotti, Italian, real Italian coffee, or a British tea. So you go there in a bar.
Mm-hmm. I'm sitting beside one of my best friends.
Okay.
It was not a good, a well-paced show.
It was not good.
Well, no.
You're not on the show, huh?
I'm not on the show.
You watch the show.
I'm there to watch the show. And they did like a common pacing mistake. They put all the bad comics, all the new comics, early.
Oh.
And because none of the good comics want to be early. They want to be late.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's just bad comic after bad comic. And I nudge my friend. I'm saying, I can be funnier than that.
Yeah.
And my friend, you know how supportive friends are, right?
Yes.
His response was, yeah, right.
Okay.
So then
he did not believe you.
Well, yeah. But wow. I was a little bit of a class clown, but not a major class clown. And so we ended up. I went. I talked to the guy who would put it on. Who was hosting it, and he says, "Well, you want to be on next week?" And I said, "Sure." And so the next week, I went on.
Okay. So the week, what did you do in the week before you go on stage?
I had no idea what stand-up comedy really was.
But enough, because you saw people...
I watched, yeah.
Yeah, but you did not write a joke.
Look. I didn't write it.
Nothing?
Nothing. I
you are confident?
I was super confident.
Oh, love that.
I went there and I face-planted so hard.
Okay, you bomb?
Well, the thing is, they asked me back the week after. What happened was, I went up there, I tried... talking to the crowd or improvising stuff.
Okay.
And
no idea.
Well, I had a couple ideas.
Okay.
And like when I used the ideas or talking to the audience, it went nowhere. And then I just started kind of complaining about how bad I was, and people started laughing.
You said, "Oh wow!"
And then when people started laughing, I would go, "Oh, I know this joke," and I would say the joke, and they would not laugh.
Yeah.
And then I, at that point, I was, you know, I go back into the bombing stuff and call for the host to come back up, and then they start laughing, and I'd remember to tell a joke.
And the thing is, it was up and down.
What I thought I was doing was not what was funny, but what I was actually doing was.
So you didn't know the concept of bombing. You didn't know.
Well, I saw people bomb the previous week. But
yeah, but your ego said, I'm funnier than them.
Yeah.
But you did not understand that maybe the guy who bombed was a good comic who tried joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you don't have any reference of who they are.
Yeah. It's also, I mean, you know me. I put on a lot of shows, and I worked.
You saw a lot of comics. No, I mean, let's work with Just for Laugh. Okay,
yeah.
We're gonna talk about that.
I got a schooling in pacing afterwards, so that made me kind of figure out what was kind of wrong with the show, right?
Later on.
And I was able to look back and going, okay, this is why.
Yeah, yeah.
Because.
No, I mean, the passion was not there too, you know.
The passion was there for me.
In the bar when you saw it, was just put the comic.
Yeah.
You know, nobody was like, no, you're gonna put strong. You know what I mean? Do
there
something.
There was a behind the scenes, I guess, a bit too much ego. That first year I was in comedy, I probably did 60 shows.
You did 60 times?
Yeah.
So it's good, 60.
Very good.
For the first year, wow.
Yeah. And then there was a fight in the scene.
And what kind of fight? Like Jimbo?
Well, it was like the people that were there in the scene are the people who were not good enough to be signed by Yuck Yucks or encouraged to move to Toronto when the club closed. So the couples, the few that were there that were good, they wanted a bigger cut because the guy who was putting on the show wasn't sharing the money. And the thing is, but I was too new to know what was going on. And so I stayed loyal to that guy because he's the guy that put me on stage and he was feeding my ego. And they started their own thing.
And it's the only place, huh?
Yeah. They started their own thing, but because I was the new guy and I was going, hey, but we got to listen to him, cut me out. So
they cut you out?
They cut me out. So they were doing, because I was staying with the original guy.
What's happened with the original guy? He quit?
No. He was still putting on shows.
Okay.
But he did not follow other... I didn't follow the other guys who all kind of left him.
Because he was mad with the other...
Right.
Same thing.
But it got to be such a fight.
A fight physically?
Not physically, okay. But financially.
Oh, financially?
They opened up, like the show was once a week. And they all opened up a show directly across the street at the same night.
Oh, same thing with Yuck Yuck and Absolute and Ottawa.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
So they did that. And both of them sort of imploded. It got to the point, I heard rumors that one group would go to, like, find out the other bar is playing someplace.
Wow.
The other group is playing someplace. They'd go to the bar and say, we'll give you $50 to cancel the show.
Oh, imagine if they have two shows together, symbiose, you know?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the other guy had, like, the reason they wanted more money was he had expanded, and we were doing shows, because Halifax is about close to the same size as Quebec City, so...
600...
It was probably about 400,000 people.
Okay.
And so it's a bunch of small towns, small cities. There's Bedford, Sackville, Dartmouth. And so he was started doing shows in the other boroughs or towns as close to Halifax. And so we were doing multiple shows a week. But like some of them were just monthlies. But the downtown show was kind of like our big show.
So you stay with the good guy?
He turned out not to be a good guy.
Okay, he was not a good guy. But if you have to restart again, you will stay with him or you will go with the other guy?
Well, I stayed with him because the other guys were very clicky. They were the more experienced. I had only been doing it a year.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So I wasn't made to feel welcome with them.
Okay. So, and nobody wants to encourage you at the time?
No.
It was only this guy?
Yeah.
So your feeling, it's like, it's easy, I'm going there, mm-hmm. You bomb.
Yeah. The first time, yeah.
So when you get off of the stage, what did you say to yourself? Did you say, "Oh, it's done for me," or to the crowd? What was the feeling about?
I consider it a bomb, but I got laughs and then I got
laughs. You have laughs at the not good time, a good place.
Yeah.
They laugh when you said you suck.
Kind of, yeah.
And when you say a joke, they don't laugh.
It was.
You are happy when you get off of the stage. Right?
I was a little bit.
Remember the feeling when you go on stage? Did you enjoy it? Did you realize it's not the same than in life?
It's heroin, yeah.
It's exactly, you know?
Yeah.
Because you arrive and then, yeah. And talking the mic, the spot. Did you see the red light?
It wasn't a
red light. Oh, you did too long?
Flashlight. No, I did the...
Okay.
It
was a flashlight?
I did the right amount of time.
Okay. So somebody came to see you, said, great job?
Well, the guy who was running it asked me if I wanted to be on next week.
Great. So you're happy. So,
yeah.
So you served like that for the year, the 60 show.
And I learned. Yes. I learned about writing jokes. I learned about jokes.
You learned how to bomb too.
Yeah, I learned how to bomb.
Like to say to your ego, all right.
Yeah.
It's a long process.
Yeah.
So after 1 year, what did you do? Did you stay there or you move?
No, I stayed. I stayed in Halifax because that's where my life was.
Okay. So how long you stay there? Before you move here.
I moved to Montreal in
99. Okay. So you stay there in Halifax?
For about another 5 years.
Okay, so 5 years, 60 show every year?
No, because of the fight, comedy dried up.
Okay.
But at that point, I had gotten into acting.
Acting in Halifax?
Yeah. And so I got into doing, you know, some shows and commercials that have kept supplementing, you know, being a bookkeeper.
Not theater or improv?
I did a little bit of theater, not any real improv.
So, but because of the fight, it was impossible for you to do show?
Well, the thing is, it's because of the fight, the way people were, when you approached a club, like a bar, they said, oh, so you're going to pay us to be able to put on the show.
Okay.
Because...
they want money now.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, Halifax is also... like it's a small town, but the some of the liquor licenses are they serve until 4 a.m. right? So that's later than some places in Montreal.
Yeah.
Right. For them to go to a bar and say, "I want to put on a comedy show for no longer than 2 hours," they're going, "What? I can get a band to play for beer."
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not.
So you did 60 shows the first year.
60 shows.
After that, no show.
Down to like maybe less than 10 shows a year.
So it's a little while. It's not cool for your momentum, you know?
No.
So did you quit?
I didn't. There was no place to do it. I was still
not
was
quitting, still doing, but the comedy quit you.
Yeah, the comedy quit the city.
So why you move in Montreal? Is it because you want to be back in comedy or you meet a girlfriend?
I met an old girlfriend called Comedy. Because they started the very first Halifax Comedy Festival.
Oh, what is the name?
The Ha Fest.
The Ha?
Fest, yeah.
Okay.
And the very first year they did it, I volunteered.
So it's the fifth year? It's the 1998?
No, this would have been 96, I think.
Okay, so
96 or 97, 96.
So now it's 2 years after. Because when the first year you did 60 show, after that nothing, and now a festival arrive.
Yeah,
and they want you.
Well, no, they're looking for volunteers to do.
Oh, volunteers like
all the work. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. All the stuff nobody wants to do for free.
Yeah,
but for you, it's an opportunity because it's a comedy festival.
Yeah, it's a chance to see professional
comics. And maybe make friends with the owner of the festival.
Right. Now the owner of the festival, the first year that it ran, it's changed now. Was actually owned a talent agency, and so what they did was they had their actors, and then they went to Yuck Yucks, etc., and brought in a bunch of comics from Toronto. So there was no local stand-ups. I mean, the first year there was Chris Finn, Glenn Foster, Derek Edwards, I think Mike Wilmot. You know, so big Canadian names at the time. Then there was Bette McDonald, a lot of the people who were ex-Codco, so who became This Hour Is 22 Minutes.
It's popular, this was on.
So a lot of people who had Kathy Jones had never done stand-up prior.
Okay.
Right, so she's doing stand-up for this.
Did you ask to have a spot somewhere in the festival?
I did, and they did have like a local amateurs. Now, of the people who like split off before, those in the click didn't want to participate. The guy who hosted it doesn't have a great reputation, but he's a singer entertainer.
Okay.
His name is Jimmy. As a performer and as a promoter, he is incredibly. It's not deep comedy, but he will leave a crowd happy.
Okay.
But I mean, it's you know, singing jigs and telling dirty stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you know what?
Yeah. So
he hosted the open mic
in the Ha Festival.
In the Ha Festival.
The first year?
The first year.
So you're not just volunteer, you do an open mic too?
It's
good for you.
Yeah.
So what's happened after the did you kill?
Well, I did all right.
You did all right? Enough to come back the year after?
But, the thing is...
I love your face.
Yeah.
Every time I ask you a question...
the thing is... A lot of the paid staff, like the owners,
okay,
when they wanted stuff done, they stopped asking the paid staff and they asked me because I took care of stuff and I understood comedy and the comedy rhythm.
At the time. Imagine.
I was already into it. They were theater and TV people. They didn't understand how to put together a comedy show.
Wow.
Right? So... At that point, I met Aimee Siwa. I don't know if you know who she is. She had come down as an advisor to work at the
what?
Just let me see if I can make some more noise. Yeah. Also, two people came to observe it were Brent Chies and Bruce Hills from Just for Laughs.
Bruce Hill, yeah.
Yeah. And they...
Bruce Hill was... In Halifax at the time,
yeah, they came down to like offer their expertise and to watch the shows to see who they might want to take to
wow, okay,
Just for Laughs, okay. And they quickly picked up on if something was needed to be done, I was the guy to get to.
Okay,
and so I was the one driving them to the airport, and Brent.
That's all right.
Brent went and he actually. Said.
Brent
Chies.
I know he's a great guy. Is this the guy who do the hockey? Look?
Yeah.
Played there. I was
Brent. Brent is one of those people one of the people I most respect in the entire comedy industry.
He's right. Yeah.
And he said to me, he says, "Would you want to come up to Just for Laughs?"
No way.
To work.
In 1998.
This would have been 96. So
I'm sorry, 96.
Yeah, so 97. I said I couldn't this year because I had used up all my vacation. and then come February, I'd forgotten about it because I figured that's just him saying whatever, because I never got on with any of the people from the talent agency.
Okay.
After that, February of the next year, 97, I get a package in the mail, a couple Just for Laughs shirts. And hey, we're thinking about you. Do you want to come up?
Wow!
So I had got 2 weeks work to justify them paying me as somebody who's inexperienced. I had worked in the office during the day.
Where the office? Where
the Just for Laughs office?
So you moved to Montreal in 1990?
No, I was just there for 2 weeks.
So you go there.
I go there.
So 1997, 1998, 1999. You go every 2 weeks, the 2 weeks of the festival, and you go back in Halifax.
Yeah.
So they pay you the trip?
Yeah.
And they pay you the 2 weeks?
Yeah.
So what is your job at the time?
The job evolved. I was a PA in the office the first year.
What is PA?
Production assistant.
And what is production assistant?
Production assistant is basically, we need this done, do it.
about what the other who's supposed to do don't do it. You're the assistant of the guy who's supposed to do.
It's like if whatever task they need done.
Okay, like not
Johnny,
like
Johnny on the spot.
Not like booking.
Not like
you're the runner guy. You're a runner.
I don't make decisions. Yeah, I'm.
Coffee. Yeah. Call this guy. Bring the car.
Yeah.
This kind of job.
That kind of job.
So why they choose you? Why they say you? Why you? Yeah. Why from Halifax they can find somebody here in Montreal?
Because I had a passion for comedy.
Okay, and they believe in you.
Yeah.
They give you like that. Tac.
Yeah.
So for all the bullshit with the click there,
mm-hmm.
From nowhere, you find a way to work with just a laugh.
Yeah.
In Halifax, think about that.
Yeah, I know.
It's you know what I mean? Sometimes you don't understand, but it was meant to be for you.
Yeah.
So for the 97, 98, and 99, you moved.
I missed 1 year. So maybe I was, it might have been 96, might have been my first year.
Okay.
You missed 97. So it could have been 95, could have been the first year. How fast, I can't remember. So I worked... or 3 years for Just for Laughs, and then I moved to Toronto.
You did not move to Montreal?
I moved to, because my French was so bad.
You were scared about that?
I was scared about
that. You didn't know you can live in English in Montreal?
I saw it as sort of like a summer thing. I didn't realize the Saint-Laurent divide, right?
Yeah. The solitude.
So I moved to Toronto, and I was in Toronto for less than years. I missed a year of working Just for Laughs.
Okay, so 99...
What happened was...
You moved to Toronto.
No. 98, I moved to Toronto.
98, because Halifax to Toronto is a big step.
Mm.
You move on the plane or you drove?
On the plane.
Okay, so you have nothing?
Nothing. My parents lived in Nova Scotia. I packed some stuff and I just took a couple...
And where did you live in Toronto?
First place I lived was... on Yonge Street between Finch and Steele. So
Wait. But remember why you moved to Toronto?
Because comedy.
For comedy.
Yeah.
For the dream.
For the dream.
Because you nobody. You don't. You have maybe 100, maybe 150.
Yeah.
You know, 95, 96, 97. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you go there.
And I start hitting new home mics. Now the thing is though. Because I've been working at Just for Laughs, I know a lot of people.
Yes.
Which is helpful.
Yes.
But I'm also having to pay Toronto rent. So,
yes.
I ended up...
You live in a one bedroom? You live in a colon?
It was a two bedroom, a guy I met through the paper.
On Kijiji?
Before Kijiji. This is in newspapers. And
no way!
Yeah.
Whoa. He was good?
He was...
Was a good guy?
He was actually
was a good guy for the time you were there.
He actually had his own TV show on the Vision Network.
What is Vision Network?
Vision is the religious network.
So okay.
So he had like a big screen TV and an editing system.
So you locked the door, and you lock the door at your
in my room.
No. So how long you stay there? In this room.
Well, he got sick. and so he was spending a lot of time in the hospital. So
you're lucky.
Yeah. So
you got all the
we'd get like the Yuk Yaks at the time. You could get your video cassette of it, like video cassette.
They record you.
Yeah.
So you work at Yuk Yak.
Well, the Yuk Yaks open mics, all the open mics, right?
The Absolute was not there at the time, eh?
Absolute.
Because this is another fight.
Yeah. This
with
is
another
this
comic. Story with Absolute and Yuk Yak.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, because it's another fight,
mm-hmm.
you know, about your fight in Halifax.
Mm-hmm.
Same fight, you know, split.
Yeah.
Same thing with in Montreal. Same thing, you know. And
there's been a ton. Yuk Yaks, I will say, has been one of the best things for comedy in Canada because they have presented shows to communities that would not ever normally get shows.
Yes.
But Yuk Yaks doesn't promote comedians, they promote their brand.
Exactly.
Which is good business for them.
Yes.
And the comedians who work for them need to kind of recognize that.
I understand. It's a gym for me.
Yeah.
Me, it's to be better and maybe find corporate, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful because, you know, I for a French guy who had the opportunity, I work Montreal, Ottawa, It's my favorite club, Ottawa. Yeah. Howard Wagman, shout out to Howard. Do you know Howard?
I know Howard pretty well.
Do you like him?
He was actually one of the co-owners of the Yuck Yucks Halifax when it opened.
No way. Okay, let's go. Okay. Toronto,
yeah.
Vaughan, Ajax, Mississauga, the Niagara Falls, you know, Calgary, Vancouver, you know.
I spent 3 months based out of Toronto doing all the Yuck Yucks.
You know, it's amazing because it's not because you kill in downtown Toronto, you're going to kill in Mississauga.
Mm-hmm.
Mississauga, it was not easy. Now it's closed. Look. But you know what I mean? Like when you understand the opportunity, when you wait about somebody, you will never succeed. You know what I mean? But at the same time, Yuck Yuck have a different way to approach you. Like, mm-hmm. we want your exclusivity, so you think you're going to have something. No, what you're going to have is stage time. And with that, focus on you.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's not everybody can take the phone call and book her, you know, and do show like we do.
Somebody should take that phone call.
I think it's Mark Breslin. So can you stop talking about us?
Yeah, let's change subject before I get in any more trouble.
So, yeah, no, man, no trouble. It's no BS with SB. Anyway, they will never watch this. If you watch this, thank you so much.
Hey.
Like, comment, share. But, you know, the so you moved to Toronto with a religious guy. He was not there, was sick. But I'm going to make a pause of that because you said something about Howard. So you said you know Howard Wagman because he was the co-owner of the Yuck Yuck in Halifax?
Oh, yeah.
The new one or the old one?
The new one. You're actually jumping ahead in my story by a good 6-7 years. I would have got to it.
Okay, so the example. Yeah. Okay, so because when you moved to Toronto, no Yuck Yuck in Halifax. The Yuck Yuck's going to reopen in 7 years after that.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back with the guy. So how long you stayed there with the religious guy?
I stayed there for about a year.
A year?
So you because come from... we get the videotapes, and he was in the hospital, so me and some of the comics would come up, this nice big editing system, and we watch our sets, dub off for each person their own set.
Wow.
You know, off of one master, and so... but I had a little bit of difficulty finding work right away, and so.
Oh, you mean a day job?
A day job.
Okay.
In Toronto, and so the person at the CN Tower who was hiring said, "Look, I see your resume. If I hire you, what's going to stop you from leaving when you get offered a better job?" And I'm saying, "Okay, well, I will promise you, I won't leave."
Yeah, what you can say anyway.
Thing is,
it's like if you sleep with me, you're gonna go. I don't know. Let's try.
Within a week, I got actually offered a better job.
What was a better job? Blockbuster?
No, I was a manager of a hotel. So I was a shift. Shift manager for a hotel.
Okay.
I had worked in hotels for a long time.
So what do you say to the guy at CNN? You're right. I quit.
No,
he was not happy.
I did both jobs.
Okay, you did both jobs.
I did both jobs. Plus,
how many shows you do a week there? You remember?
1999? I was, I think a bad week would be 5 and a good week would be 10.
Wow.
So, you know.
So you play a lot at the Yuck Yuck Toronto?
Well, they only had one open mic.
Oh, you never did the weekend the first? No spot the weekend?
No.
Open mic?
Open mic's all the...
Okay, so where do you go? In a bar?
There's a bunch of bar shows that were around until we were doing
Did you do the open mic in other Yuck Yucks?
No, because I didn't have a car.
Okay.
So,
So 1999, the first year, you have 2 jobs. You do 5 to 10 show. What's happened after? Because you said you stay 1 year there. He died.
The guy died.
The VCR died too.
The thing is, it's like he became sort of. It was sort of like a thing that we'd say, "Oh, my dying roommate's out, so we can come over and we can cut the tapes." And then he did die.
Not inside.
In the hospital.
So you have to move.
Yeah, so I moved. And
did you take the DVD?
No, I did not. Okay. I moved in with a female friend who's still a very good friend today.
Okay.
And that was...
So you stayed there how long with her?
In Greektown. It was probably about 18 months.
Okay.
A year and a half.
Okay.
So I had missed Just for Laughs the previous year because I had stayed in Toronto. I couldn't I'll get hired at 2 new jobs and then...
You don't want to scrap that for 2 weeks and just for laugh.
No. And I also picked up some work working for Sandra Fair and Associates.
But the year after, why you decided to do Just for Laugh?
Well, they asked me because they said, "Well, we missed you last year. Do you want to come back?"
And you said, yes, but I need this kind of money, or?
Yeah, and they offered me a month-long crop contract, whereas it was normally 2 weeks.
Okay.
And they gave me a bit of an expanded job.
Okay. Was the same job?
Well, the thing is, the job always changed. I was a submissions librarian, so when people send in tapes, I would categorize them, get them to the, right.
This is 2000.
This would have been
2001.
No, 99, because I was there for I was here for 99. Just for I was here for the turnover. I spent New Year's Eve, like 99 to 2000, at the Comedy Works.
In Montreal. Why?
Because
you live in Toronto.
No, I lived in Montreal. I moved to Montreal. I came back to Montreal 99.
Oh my God! Because in '99 you moved to Toronto. You said
no. I said '97. '97 and '98. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you stay 1 year.
Year
with
half.
The guy. 1 year and a half with another girl.
Half a year with the girl.
Oh, it's half a year.
Yeah.
You said 18 months.
I said I was 18 months total.
Oh, 18 months total with the guy.
No, 18 months total in Toronto.
In Toronto.
Yeah.
Okay. The guy and the girl, yeah. 18 months.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is 1999?
And you... 1999, I come back.
Okay. So why you...
I was working for Comedy Now as well. So I was production assistant for Comedy Now, Center Fair and Associates.
Man, you're so lucky.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you know at the time you're lucky?
Yeah.
Okay, you
but
know
I,
that.
But I also knew I was lucky because I was working my ass off.
Yeah, I know. And yeah. When you're there, yes, but to receive all opportunity like that.
Yeah.
So why you move to Montreal? You realize you can't speak in English there?
Well, what happened was I moved to I worked until like midnight on one of the Comedy Nows, and I had my luggage and I went to the bus station and I took the overnight bus to Montreal and I got off the bus and went to the Just for Laughs office.
Okay.
And I had my luggage and everything. And
no way.
They had just moved to
Saint-Laurent?
Onto Saint-Laurent.
2000? This is 2000?
No, 99.
Oh, 99 because, okay.
And I'm getting in the elevator with my luggage and somebody calls out, so I hold the door. And they come in, they go, oh, merci, and they light a cigarette, and that goes, oh, right, I'm in Montreal.
So who say that?
I can't remember who it was. It was a woman from the French side.
So this is the summer?
This is the summer, yeah.
So you work there two weeks, the 2 weeks festival?
Well, no, it's they brought me in early for, like, the contract was supposed to be a month. Then they extended it by another month.
Okay.
And the third month, they extended it. I was staying with David Pryde.
Oh, amazing comic.
Incredible.
Shout out to David.
One of the best.
Oh, yeah.
Writers.
He's so humble, eh?
Yeah.
He could be so cocky because these guys are...
He should be destroying audiences, like clubs in New York. He could be doing
that. Oh, yeah. But he made a choice because he had family or... Yeah.
Yeah.
So you said you were at the New Year's at the Comedy Works.
Yeah. So I do the festival and they keep on extending my contract. Luckily,
wow.
I call up Lisa in Toronto. Thank you, Lisa.
Shout out, Lisa.
She packed all my stuff off to the side, stopped charging me half a month's rent.
Wow.
Where
did you move in Montreal?
Well, that's just it. I moved by accident to Montreal.
Where?
My first apartment was on Saint-Dominique, just below Pine.
Oh, so it's the plateau.
Plateau.
Whoa!
Yeah.
So you have no better place to French place.
Yeah.
Because you're scared about that, remember?
Yep.
And now you go there, and it's French, but it's beautiful there.
Yeah.
The
plateau. The plateau is
overrated, but
Saint-Dominique is right beside Saint-Laurent. It's very much the
English. Yeah.
I did most of my time going, towards the Nest and the Works.
Okay.
Right, and
so you work at the, you said you work at the Nest and the Work?
Yeah, I Jimbo gave me a lot of work away.
Okay.
And then I did a weekend for Jimbo, and Ernie offered me a weekend.
Okay, and, of what? Of headlining?
Hosting.
And did both offer you the same thing?
No.
No, but they offer you a hosting both.
I was hosting early week for Jimbo. I did 3 months of doing the three shows early in the week hosting for Jimbo.
Okay.
And then he had me open one weekend
for
Glenn Foster.
Okay.
Just open.
Yeah.
And
Jim and Ernie?
Ernie offered me hosting for a weekend.
Okay.
And
you say no?
I said, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Jimbo wouldn't return my calls.
Okay. So you live the same thing than me?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that. So, but it's the reverse.
Yeah.
Jimbo did not like you go there.
Yeah.
So did you?
I think Jimbo thought he was a bit proprietary because he developed me.
Ah, it developed you, and now because you think you're better, you go somewhere else.
Yeah, and that wasn't the case. I was just there because.
Because you don't work at the works this week.
I had been there like 3 months.
So you get banned at the works in 2000?
Yeah.
Wow.
But
did you try to go back?
Yeah, I tried.
Yeah, you never go back there? No, I tried.
I mean, I did the open mics and such when I could. But
No, when you're banned, you're banned.
Oh, it's not a full ban. You can still do open mics. You just can't do weekends.
No, me, I'm banned.
Okay.
I think.
Have you asked to be on an open mic?
When somebody said you don't come back here, no matter what. No matter your open mic, it's the same stage. You know what I mean? And you have to understand, I was opening before. It was an open mic.
Yeah.
So I don't understand, like, I do open mic at the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the spot that they call it?
The open spot, yeah.
Yeah, so.
The opener.
So you go there at the Nest.
Mm-hmm.
You do the weekend.
Yeah.
Jimbo heard that, or you try to go back.
Yeah.
You never have an answer formally, like, you should not go there.
Yeah.
You knew when he never started booking you.
People told me afterwards, well, yeah, of course. Well, you played at the...
Yeah, but Jimbo was always there at the open mic.
Hmm?
Jimbo is always there.
No, he wasn't.
The Monday?
He was in the building, yes.
Yes, but so...
But he
always go watch you?
No,
okay.
Not me.
So you never go try to talk to him and said, I'm sorry, or I didn't know, or...
Jimbo did his nod and walk away thing anytime I came close to him.
Really?
So, yeah, so I feel like he felt I betrayed him. So...
Wow.
Yeah.
So you focus at the Nest?
Yeah,
you stop going. You never go back to the work?
You said open mic? Yeah, I did open mic, and after
he left,
I've done weekends, like...
Oh, yeah, the year...
So I did weekends.
This is 2016?
Yeah, but there's also, like, 2003, I got married, or was it... 2002, 2003, I got married, and we moved to Nova Scotia.
Okay. Let's recap. Did you know at the time Jimbo and Ernie have a fight?
No, I found out afterwards. Because I had only been really
because
in town for...
Yeah, yeah. Like, if you knew that, what did you do?
Like,
you know what I mean?
I would have gone to Jimbo saying, I want to do weekends for you. I'm being offered weekends there, but I prefer the stage or whatever. But I ended up... I had a great relationship with Ernie.
It's not the point. But the point is why it's us. We have to justify the ego of two individuals, you know,
mm-hmm.
about a business. You know, talk to each other. It's not our.
Yeah.
So because at the time you feel bad, huh?
Yeah.
You think it's your fault.
Yeah.
You know. And so did you talk to Ernie about that?
Like
because I host now I'm banned at the works.
Well, the thing is,
you said you have a good relationship with.
Yeah, he put me in charge of their open mic, sort of like what Peter Radomski does now.
Okay.
And I got a weekend work from him.
Okay.
So,
So you said you stopped comedy in 2003.
I moved back to Halifax.
So why?
Is
it because of her?
Well, this came up. Afterwards, she knew that there was no club in Halifax.
Oh, she knew that?
Mm-hmm. I married her. Of course, we've traveled out there a couple times. And so she found out that there was no comedy club in Halifax. And even though we met at a comedy show.
Because it's funny you say that, because it's 2003 and internet is there, but it's not there, you know?
Yeah.
Because you only say, we found the no yuck yuck there, I said. What do you mean? Google? No, no Google.
No, no. Well, no, no. We
so 2003.
My family is all out there.
Exactly.
So if I'm going to marry somebody, I take them out to go visit my daughter, to visit my parents, my siblings.
What do you mean your daughter?
My daughter.
You have a daughter?
Yeah, I have three now.
Yeah, but at the time.
I had a daughter, yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So you have a daughter with a girl.
Yeah.
And another two other with the new one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your
so
stepdaughters with the new one. Yeah.
Okay. So okay, one and one step.
Two step.
Okay. It's not your.
Right.
When you meet your wife, she have already the two girls.
My new wife.
Yes.
This is my second wife.
Okay. yeah. So you have one. Okay.
For those of you keeping track at home,
it's a quiz. We do that because we have a quiz. You're gonna win a toaster at the end if you remember. So
who's
so,
paying for the toaster?
I'm gonna be in charge.
Okay, good.
2003, you decide to get married in your place. It's normal.
Yeah.
So you, but why move? Why just not do the wedding there?
We did the wedding up here. We lived up here for about 3 months, and then she wanted to move out east. And one of the good reasons for me is my parents were older.
Oh, yeah.
And so I wanted to be closer to family.
Yeah.
And my daughter as well.
Yeah, you missed your daughter for 4 years?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm be traveling back.
Yeah, okay. And is it because coming doesn't work too?
It was kind of frustrating because I was opening and hosting on the weekends. I wasn't getting middle spots.
And you don't feel like Ernie like you enough to give you opportunity.
Yeah, well, I babysat his son for a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah, so you go there, mm-hmm. and you realize no comedy there.
Oh, yeah, no, she already knew that.
She?
Yeah.
Yeah, why her? What do you mean?
Because she was beginning to feel jealous of me being out at nights, me doing shows, or if I was on the road.
Okay.
So that was sort of the beginning of a little bit of the end for the relationship. We go to Halifax, there's no place to do comedy. And I go a little crazy because I need it.
Oh yes, you need it.
So I found out there was an improv troupe, and I made friends with the improv troupe, and I said, look, you guys do two sets, can I do stand-up between the two sets?
Wow.
And they let me do stand-up between the two sets. And then I met a guy by the name of Joe Maurizio, who was a personal attendant to a Buddhist monk, and the monk had said, I've taught you everything you know. This is very weird, trust me. There's a large Buddhist community in Halifax, in Nova Scotia. And so the monk had released him. Now, he has a history, like he's a chef, but he was also, he opened... He's from New Jersey, born in New Jersey. He started comedy in Boston, and he moved to New York, and he was doing comedy at the Paper Moon Cafe, I think it was called, which later became the Boston Comedy Club.
Okay, wow.
So he started the comedy there.
Wow.
And that's the one that's in New York.
Okay.
Now, but then he got into Buddhism and became a personal attendant to Buddhist monk.
And he moved to Halifax?
He moved a couple places around the world. And then
so why you talk about this guy?
Because this guy had just been released from service by
the Buddhist?
By the monk, yeah. And which is, I guess, a polite way of saying fired. It's a positive way of being fired, I guess. and so he didn't know exactly what he wanted to do, so he put on a comedy show at this place called...
In Halifax.
Yeah, called Ginger's. And I saw the posters, and I said, hey, I've been looking for a good place to do comedy. He said, come on by, I'll have you open for me. So I opened for him. And this is a club that was normally closed on Sunday night. They opened it to do this. Now, the Buddhist community is so strong, he filled the place.
With the Buddhist people?
With the Buddhists.
So you can say a lot of stuff, though.
Hmm?
You can be dirty.
Why not?
I don't know. I ask you.
Sex is not dirty to Buddhists. Drinking is not forbidden for Buddhists.
Okay, so why you put Buddhists?
Because the Buddhist community supported us. The club wanted us back.
Ah, in this sense, yeah.
And so the idea that we were supposed to do another show in a month. So we're trying to write a bunch of new material. Both of us trying to get a bunch.
And
of
now
material.
You're happy, you know? Now you're reborn.
I'm reborn.
So the relation with your wife is up.
Well, no, because she doesn't. She feels she's losing time with me.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. No, no. She was jealous of comedy.
Ah, oh, it's more than that.
Yeah.
She was jealous about your passion.
She, yeah. That, okay. That as well.
So you did not stay long with her, huh?
Well,
longer.
We.
You still with her?
I'll get to it.
Kicking. Oh so, my God, we have a soap. It's yeah. Like no.
Well, so
you did the show there every month,
right? So we actually we went bi-weekly fairly quickly, and then weekly. And the idea of going weekly was it's easier to tell people to show up on Sunday rather than saying the first Sunday.
Oh yeah, or just
So
you start to work a lot.
So, but the, I put out the call for anyone who wanted to try stand up.
Yeah.
And so there were a number of people came up. Nathan McIntosh. Do you know who he is?
No.
Okay, you'll have to look him up.
Okay.
Look up Nathan McIntosh.
Shout out to Nathan.
He is one of the hardest working comics. He's done Conan. He's done.
Wow.
He's done American Late Night TV.
Okay. He's a Canadian.
Yeah. Wow. He's from Halifax.
Wow. You should be proud.
The only reason I'm not.
And
the
you start to book him.
The only reason I wasn't the first person to put him on stage. Is because on his way to the show, him and his friends had dinner at a Pizza Hut, and the woman said, "Oh, you're going to do a comedy show? Let's hear it!" And they did it in the Pizza Hut.
So did he start? You saw him grow.
Yeah.
2003.
Yeah.
2003.
So there was him, Peter White.
Yes.
There was two guys, Mike McQueen, and. Going to kill me for forgetting his name. He's one of the most charismatic performers I've ever seen. Him and Mike have a because now I've done playing with my spoon.
My spoon.
Yeah. Him and Mike actually do a musical duo called the Bring Back Swayzes.
Okay. So let's go. Not it's not about it's not interested. It's great, but me, what I want to know it's 2003 for how long did you stay in Halifax and do again comedy because you said
it was around 2005 when Mark Breslin called me because we got there was an article in I think it was the I which was one of the like the free papers like the
so you make so much song with the Buddhist show
it wasn't just the Buddhist at this point it had caught on
so the newspaper it's not a newspaper
Joe Maurizio moved away within like a couple months so
Mark Breslin called you what was the discussion
he said we're looking at reopening up
wow.
And we want to know if we can count on you to help.
Wow! And so, now your wife is not happy, eh?
No.
Oof. So you say yes?
Yeah, I said.
So what was your job there?
I managed it when it opened, but I helped set up a lot of stuff. I moved over my mailing list because at that point Facebook was brand new.
Yeah.
Right.
2006.
Wasn't even new. Yeah, it wasn't even.
Well, just arrived. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, YouTube just arrived too.
Yeah. So we had. All that the article that was in the Toronto paper said stand-up comedy in Halifax right now is akin to the music scene in Seattle 1993.
Wow.
We had so many great comics come out of there and the second wave included Picnic Face and Mark Little Andy Bush
so do you play or you just book?
I played. I hosted most of the time. I trained some people to host as well.
So Mark Breslin, he went for the opening. Did he come back often, or you just?
He came back a couple times.
Okay. So who was the manager?
I was the manager.
Who was the boss of the Yuck?
When the Yucks opened, I didn't put myself on often, but I would play because he also opened one in Moncton.
Yeah, but who put the money?
Hmm? The money went to a guy by the name of Mark Sove.
Okay.
Who later decided not to pay me.
Oh. Not to pay you every week or?
All the money that he said he was going to be paying me. I waited 8 months.
8 months, no pay?
It was 6 months. I had a job, but we had 6 months of lead up.
Wow.
Where I fed him the mailing list. I helped get the press out. I brought out all this stuff and he had agreed to be paying me. And then when we opened, he says, "Okay, once we get the opening expenses over."
Yeah.
And then, finally, when I get a paycheck, I'm going, "What? This is just for 2 weeks."
Yeah.
And he's going, "Oh yeah, well, that other stuff I'm not going to pay you for." And Howard Wegman was a partner in this.
Howard Wagner was a partner with the, this guy.
With this guy, and so yeah, so they I ended up, I went to Howard because I had known Howard for years.
Okay. Why you know Howard for years?
Because when I was living up here, I was doing comedy in Ottawa okay. as well. Right.
Okay.
And plus seeing Howard at Just for Laughs.
Okay. So what Howard said when you heard the story?
He wanted to know what was happening because he wasn't getting any straight answers from Sauvé. Sauvé ended up getting the franchise removed from him. He got booted out. Yuck Yucks took it over full time. They asked me to go in and to manage it, but I had really.
You never get paid.
I never got
paid. Award never pay you never. When he knew the story.
Yeah.
So what was the reason? Hmm? Because they don't have money? Because
I didn't have a physical contract.
I didn't. Okay, so the voice or the shake in is not enough.
Right.
And anyway, you were there.
The thing is, also Sauvé, when I threatened to go at Sauvé for it, he says, yes, okay, go ahead. This is before he got booted out. He said, go ahead, sue me for it. You're just going to end up closing the club.
Yeah.
So for me, that would be killing my legacy.
I know.
Because the comedy in Halifax is there is a scene there, and it's a great supporter scene, and there's some amazing people in it now.
Yeah.
And some amazing people have come out of it.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have happened if I had driven a stake through it.
You mean you're responsible of the success of comedy in Halifax because
I've been called the godfather
at that Scarface. Yeah.
Not in that sense.
No, I know. But you talk about cocaine before. So just to be sure you understand, okay? The guy, he robbed you, he never pay you, you talk with the other actioner, it's Howard Wagman, he said, I can't do nothing because you don't have paper, proof, or blah, blah, blah. Did you quit? What's happened?
Yeah, the guy quit because my wife's in my other ear. So.
Yeah.
See, this is what
you have to get respect. Yeah. So you quit. What's happened with the club when you quit?
Well, the Yuck Yucks itself took it over. There was a third partner.
A long time before you quit?
No, I think it was about 2 or 3 months, and it took a month for me to get that first paycheck. So okay. it was like, what's going on? When am I going to get money?
Exactly.
And he led me on saying, oh, we'll work it out. And then finally says, I'm not paying you.
So do you still know where's this guy?
Hmm? I know that this is the thing is, because he got caught scamming Yuck Yucks, he was scamming Yuck Yucks. He got removed from his franchise agreement. He now puts on charity shows for organizations in the Maritimes.
Okay.
And he's moved around a couple times doing this.
So at 2006, the Yuck Yuck closed.
Yuck Yucks is still there.
He's still there.
The Yuck Yucks.
Oh, he never closed.
No.
But he was not the guy.
Hmm?
He's
no longer the guy.
But Howard was still there?
I don't know if Howard is still.
So what are you doing after that when you don't work at Yuck Yucks?
How
long did you stay in Halifax?
Not long.
1 year?
Maybe less.
So where did you move?
Well, we moved back to Montreal.
Oh, she moved back with you?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. 2010?
2007. We ended up, I did, like, Mark gave me a nice, like, 3-month tour.
Mike Breslin gave you a tour?
Yeah. So
to apologize?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
when you move here?
Yeah, well,
so you move in Montreal.
Actually, I did it at the same time.
Okay.
We.
What is a host move? Middle tour.
Middle
tour.
Middle and hosting.
Middle and hosting. So yeah. So you're happy?
Oh yeah.
Your wife follow you or?
She stayed with her sister in New York for a little bit, and then we met here midway through the tour because I had 1 weekend off.
Okay.
And we found an apartment.
Okay.
And
where?
First apartment was in NDG.
NDG, okay.
Yeah, very English.
Okay, yeah.
And she went back, packed everything.
Okay.
And then she went back to her sister's. I finished the tour and I went back and Andrew Albert.
Andrew Albert, yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah, him and I think it was... either Kevin Dupuy or Ian Black, they helped me pack the truck. Okay. Like I stayed one night in Halifax.
If you want to be a comedian, you have to pack all the time.
Yeah.
So let's go fast because I don't want to miss like stuff like that.
Yeah.
So 2007. So 2007. Mm-hmm. You 2019. Now you never move back. Always stay in Montreal.
I'm back. Yeah.
Okay, so what was your goal at 2007?
My goal was to be performing more.
Start your own stuff, huh?
Yeah. I worked at the different places.
You go back to the Works and the Nest in 2007?
Yeah.
So you were able to play at the Works and the Nest again?
I got the odd weekend, hosting or opening.
Okay.
At the Nest and at the Works, it was just the open mic when I could. So I started, I did a variety show because they were still down on people doing other shows. George Braithwaite.
I know him. I think you have a Biftek show.
Yeah, he has the Biftek show now. Okay. He and Deanne Smith and Asif Gercek had and Peter J. Radovsky had the, what was it called? It was the main show, Off the Main. They had the Off the Main show, and then George left that and did basically what is the Art Loft, but it was called the Too Much Comedy Show, which was amazing. It was just a small small loft. People bring their own drinks.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. So 2007 to from now, did you rework with Just for Laugh?
Yes, I did. I did. I worked a number of times. I had an audition one year, and I got half a standing ovation from the crowd.
Okay.
And I was told within a week that I didn't make the cut, and then given a call 2 days later, which venue do you want to manage this year? Because I was managing venues. And I felt like I wasn't appreciated for my comedy.
Okay.
And so I have gone back on it. I've done the odd little bit of contract work, but I've not gone back to working.
With Just for Laughs.
With Just for Laughs. Other than just minor contracts to get certain jobs done.
Yeah. So, do you still work with Yuck Yucks?
I haven't so much. I really got out over the last couple of years. I've only been
Ottawa.
Well, 2014. It was December 2013. I separated from my wife.
Okay.
2014. Both my parents got very ill. They died within 6 months of each other. I got diagnosed with clinical depression. Going through the divorce and everything.
Okay. Because I meet you
in
2013.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think you have long hair.
Yeah, the long hair. And I was right on the end. I was already hitting depression.
2015 depression?
Well, 2013 to 2015, 2016 depression.
Okay.
So I was medicated for a long time, seeing a therapist. Comedy just wasn't twisting it for me. I think it was 2013 was when the last Kick-Ass comedy show happened.
By the way, thanks, man, because of you, give me opportunity.
Yeah.
I did a lot of show with you, man, in a weird position.
The bar was 6 feet away.
The poker machine, the pool,
the spotlight that I built myself.
Yeah. I was there, man, bombing and grateful. Thank you. Yeah. Shout out of you. I love to say shout out. It's a new word. So, okay, 2016, what's happened to you? Because after 3 years,
The one thing I kept going was, I do the odd little show here and there. One thing I kept going was the Vaudeville variety show.
How long does the Vaudeville exist?
As of September, this will be our sixth year. We were the first show.
Wiggle Room.
Yeah.
I thought it was new. I thought it was
No.
So you were depressed and you do it?
Well, it was after the explosion of what happened. I needed that outlet. I need to feel like I'm producing something.
Yeah, but for people who don't know, the Vaudeville, it's a contest.
Competition. Did start out as a competition.
Okay.
I paid everybody at first.
Yes.
And when I paid everybody, no one bothered promoting the show.
Oh.
So we made it the competition.
Yeah.
Now people, try to get their friends there.
Yes.
And I don't want people to think this is a bringer show. It is not a bringer show because the audience members vote for their favorite two acts.
No, I know. Yeah. It's a burlesque show, I think.
It's a variety.
A variety, yes. It's singing, dancing.
Burlesque, comedy, circus arts.
Circus arts. What is the girl when they dance?
Burlesque.
Oh, it's burlesque. So yeah.
It's nice shape. Yeah. Good shimmy, by the way.
And you know, I have good, eh?
Yeah.
You're excited, yeah. Huh? And I did. I went 2 times in a row. Tac tac.
Just two or three?
No,
just
the
two?
Third time I think I lost. You never called me.
Okay. Yeah. No.
I did not. I did not lose. I did not win the second prize.
No.
So I was not first two. But I did not do that for that.
Yeah.
Stage time.
Yeah, but it's
a great crowd, great setup.
If you look on Yelp, it's like one of the top shows in Montreal.
I know. See, and you know, and I'm very happy you invite me there, and you I think you're happy now, eh? Are you happy?
Yeah.
Did you make peace with comedy?
Yeah.
The wall of comedy.
The thing is, I feel like I'm restarting, like I'm a new comic again.
Yes.
And so
with a lot of baggage, you know, a lot of stuff, you know.
Just knowledge and history, but yes. It's just
you're a sage. I said something like that.
No, sage. A sage en anglais.
Oh, wait, you like the old guy, you know, in the Silence of the Lamb. The Ring, the movie, The Ring.
The Ring, okay. I haven't seen The Ring.
They never saw The Ring?
I don't watch horror
films. You never saw the Silence des Anneaux? Silence of the Ring?
Silence of the
Ring? Silence of the Ring?
Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Ring.
Lord of the Rings. That's
you
a
saw Lord of the Rings.
I've seen Lord of the Rings.
It's like a quiz. Lord of the Rings. You know the guy, you know? You like Miyagi in Karate Kid. No, because if I was a young comic, I would sit with you and ask you a lot of questions because you know a lot of stuff, you know? Mm. You know?
Pacing. Well, just for laughs, the amount of shows I saw, like managing a venue, taking care of a venue, working for Just for Laughs. When you see masters, like comedic masters, headliners, doing 7-minute sets, you see them do that same set for 15 or 25 times, through a run of 2 weeks or a week, you really understand their thought process and their structure.
Yes.
And I've met so many amazing
yes.
people.
Yes.
The amazing people I've met have far outweighed any rudeness from the odd random. They have been amazingly... The people who reach Just for Laughs reach Just for Laughs because they're people that people like to work with.
Yes.
Set structure, joke structure, yes. Setup, seeing who varies a joke slightly each night and who keeps it like on a metronome each night and how those differences play out. It's
fun, eh? Because it's the same.
Beyond fun. It's like getting a master's.
And course. I think now you are in a good position in your life. You know, every week is the hit. I saw you on stage have fun, you know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You find, you know, because comedy, it's so tough because life, you know, and we do 1.5 hours, we could do 3 hours if we continue to.
Yeah.
Because
my new wife is incredibly supportive.
Exactly. You're happy in life?
Yeah.
You have a new girlfriend?
I have a new wife.
You have a new wife?
Well, okay, we got married, but we're not telling the government because we ruined her credit rating.
Okay.
Hey-o.
So like, so you're happy in life. You're happy in your comedy. If you're shy, if you're an open micer, if you have any question, this guy is for you guys. If you want it, if he said, I saw the podcast, can I talk to you? He said no. But no, but I always respect you. I always appreciate what you do. And I didn't know you have a struggle, you know, in your life, mm-hmm. and you're back. Stronger than ever, like you said, the horse.
Get back on the horse. Yeah.
Get back on the horse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The what is the expression?
You just made it sound dirty, though. What am I doing to that horse?
No, but you know, because you have an expression.
Get back on the horse.
Yeah. When you fail,
you know,
it's just you know what I mean. You are the king of that.
I'm the king of falling.
Yes. And you know what? It's not negative what I said.
Yeah.
You're stronger than you think.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know how many times you could quit and said, I should quit, and everybody said, yeah,
and you never quit. I actually think it's kind of weak because I can't give up the addiction of
performing. Yeah, man, this is the addiction drug, but at the same time, Yes, but you could do other stuff, you know.
Yeah.
To try to find the same. You stay in comedy, no matter. Comedy, it's not a race, it's a marathon. You know what I mean?
So if anyone wants to book me.
Exactly why we are here.
Yeah.
You know? Talk to you, and if you want to play with him too. We have a great room. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy you did not give up, because I think you're a funny comedian. You're a great human being. You have a great story. And because you could stop easy, not just because comedy doesn't work, but because you get robbed by the industry. Because comedy is great, it's the industry who suck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every time, you know, I talked with a comedian and I said, I think I have 50 people banned in my life about comedy. He said, it's a lot. No, it's not a lot. How many people you banned in your life? You know?
Two.
Only two?
Two.
Only two. You nobody no more than two. You get robbed a lot of time. Don't like you. You know what I mean? You know the industry.
There's two people. There's one person who among the many things he did, he stole some lines from one of my jokes.
Okay.
It was a bit of an older joke.
So no, I mean the guy who don't pay you at the yacht.
Yeah, that's the other.
Oh, it's the other one.
Yeah.
Nobody else pissed you off?
But this other guy, this guy, he stole a couple lines, and when I confronted him about it, his response was, "Well, you're a hack." So you stole a hack? So you're proud of stealing hack material.
Are you a hack?
I don't think I'm a hack.
Exactly.
I think I'm.
His argument, he said, "You're a hack, so I can hack you."
Yeah. So it's
wow.
Like,
but I'm sure you have more than one. Okay.
I've had. Yeah, I've had stuff lifted.
No, I mean, you know what I mean. Like Jimbo is not your friend. It's you in there, you know.
That hurt, but I'm
exactly.
not going to ban Jimbo.
No, I mean, ban is okay. Maybe it's not a good term. It's like never work with again.
Yeah, but I don't think that's my choice.
No, so if he was still there, would you go back?
If Jimbo was still there, yeah, because
after all year, we decide to not bring you there.
Yeah.
Wow! So you have you don't have a big ego.
Well. First off, who's being hurt for me turning down work? Me. I don't care. There's two people. There's two people who I don't trust that I won't work with. That's it. But if somebody says that they won't book me now and they change their mind and they want to book me, screw it. I'll work with you because I've changed your mind. I've proven to you that I am funny enough. I am worth putting on stage, and that your audience will appreciate me, and I will make sure that they appreciate me. That's what I do.
Yeah.
That's where we end.
Yeah, but how many comics you will never book at the Wiggle?
Well, the thing is, the Wiggle, there's some comics who I like, but I can't put on there because they don't fit the room.
No, this is politically correct. But for real, how many comics you will never book there, and they fit there? You know what I mean? This is my, when I said a blacklist, you know, of people who don't respect you, you will not book there.
Yeah, but most of those people don't ask me, so.
I know, you're lucky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of comics don't like you.
A lot of comics don't like me. What are you talking about?
Not by me, by your life, by your experiences.
Generally, comics are the ones who do respect me.
You what?
Comics are the people who do respect me.
Exactly.
Producers, some producers think I'm too easy or whatever, and because I'm not an aggressive guy.
Yeah, they say that.
Well,
what is aggressive? It should be.
En français, c'est agressif.
No, mean, what do you mean aggressive?
I'm not an in-your-face or combative kind of guy. I'm somebody who likes to support a community.
Yeah, exactly my point.
And for some people, they think, why is he supporting a community? Doesn't he have his own thing? I have my own thing.
Yes.
And I know that I've got one of the best shows
in the
city.
Oh, yes.
I know that I'm a good comic, and I know if I'm
yes.
in front of a crowd,
yes.
I deliver.
So what is your plan for the next year? You know, do you have an objective? You want to do a 1 hour? You want to do just for laugh? You want to do more than 1 week at the Wiggle?
Within 2 years, I want to do the Halifax Comedy Festival and
Halifax.
The Winnipeg Comedy Festival.
Oh, the Winnipeg. Okay, this is your main goal.
For the next 2 years, that's the thing.
Not just for laugh? You don't want to do
the
Zoo Fest or the Off?
The last year, I have an idea for a TV show that I'm
trying to pitch.
But the last year I asked to audition, like this past round, I asked to audition, and I had a very solid set, I didn't even get turned down. I got no response back.
Oh, this is sad. Huh? It's funny when you say, not this year, okay, thank you, but then when they don't respond, it's sad, yeah?
Yeah, so, I had sent a tape that was, I was very confident.
A VHS?
No, it's YouTube clips
yes.
these days.
Yes,
I have upped my skill.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, so I had sent something that I was confident in, and then to not even hear a word
I know.
Back.
Yeah, me too, same thing. So, next question, do you think the Expo are back in town? Do you believe it?
I actually caused a little bit of controversy when I said it was around the time that the Raptors were winning.
Yes.
So it was I said, why don't we just get an NBA franchise and call them the Expos?
Oh, Expos at the basketball.
Yeah.
Wow. But do you believe it? Do you like baseball? Do you think if we have an outside stadium in Old Park, you will go?
Probably not.
No, you know.
I might take in free tickets.
Yeah, for beer and fun, but you don't think it's important to have a baseball team. You prefer a basketball team.
No, I professional sports to me are a bunch of spoiled millionaires.
Yes.
Right.
You're so right.
Playing a kids game.
You're so right.
I mean, they. I will not deny they have skill and talent.
Yeah.
But the amount that they get paid, and worse. The amount that people who manage and own the teams get paid, how much money. If I wanted to take like my family to go watch, say, the Blue Jays play, right?
Yeah.
I got to mortgage a house.
No, it'd be more hockey.
Hockey.
Because baseball is $20 a ticket.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, hockey.
Hockey is true.
You don't want a good seat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for real. It's very expensive.
And like, I grew up. Like 15 to 20 minutes from where Sidney Crosby.
Wow, you're right.
Right?
I love Sidney Crosby. Shout out Sidney.
I mean, like, I had left before he was born.
Yes.
That's where I'm from.
Yes.
And like, you know, he's definitely a skilled guy. Definitely deserves to be paid.
Yeah.
I just don't know why.
You're right.
I don't know
why.
No,
me too. I don't watch hockey.
Nations into
I don't watch, exactly. I don't watch hockey anymore. I don't watch baseball anymore because I don't have time. It's too long.
Yeah.
It's too long, you know.
I'm writing, I'm reading, I'm
exactly.
You're
an actor too?
Yeah. I'm watching series of stuff. I'm looking at, like, I love watching good TV. I love watching bad TV or bad movies.
Okay.
Just to see where the structure is, what could be gone wrong.
Oh.
And I love finding those things that are so bad they're good.
Yeah.
Oh, when you... I do a routine about it, but if you ever get a chance, Radioactive Dreams, find it. It's never been released on DVD. See this film.
It's a shitty movie?
It's so
worst.
Incredibly... Golden.
Okay.
Bad.
Golden Drew.
Yeah.
Man, thank you so
he's
much.
He's danced around. He's actually changed his direction while we've been here.
The phone.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your generosity, man. You're amazing. I hope you're going to come back.
Yeah.
I hope you're going to, because next time you come back, we're going to talk about your festival in Winnipeg and Halifax. How you kill. Go see the Wiggle Room. You have a website, Wiggle Room?
Well, it's the wiggleroommontreal.com, I think.
Okay.
Or Facebook, if you go Wiggle Room Montreal.
I'm going to add all the link in the description, man.
Yeah.
You're amazing. Let's go eat something. I'm so hungry, Bodley.
Two big fat men about to hit.
Yes, Bodley.